The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
We've been taking little trips down memory lane over the last few days, and we were looking at photographs and the way your Facebook or your Twitter account or your Instagram account might say, this is what you did this time last year. And we were thinking of better days, like when we were on the Wild Atlantic Way or having fun around the country. And some of you might even be tempted to go all the way into the archives, your family archives up in the attic, and dig out some boxes and photos. And people like Owen O'Sullivan can talk about these treasure troves of childhood. Owen, good morning. It's nice to talk to you.
Good morning, Ryan. Nice to talk to you too.
Can we put you in context in terms of the island and where you're from? Because we did meet once before, so let's remind people who you are.
I come from a place called Tusist in South West Kerry. It's a countryside. It's about 23 miles long, and it stretches from Kinmare to the Cork border in Aghroom, and it's sea, mountain, and a bit of land in between, and it's remote, but it's lovely, it's a beautiful place. And myself, I suppose, I joined the Garda Síochána in 1975, and I did about 33 years in that. I served in Port Laois, Wexford, and Donegal, and I did some time in Bosnia as well in the UN. And then when I left the Garda about 10 years ago, I wanted to do something else with my life. And looking up, I ended up in the National Gallery of Ireland, where I'm presently working now. So that's basically my life in short.
Well, it sounds like you've had a full life. So I'd like to tap into elements of it. I think I'll start with the most recent one first, because we were only talking the other day about the libraries and the museums reopening. How did you end up in the National Gallery?
Well, it was kind of by accident, really, Ryan. I got a job with a security company in about 2012, I think. And in my travels to Dublin, I just was looking for other jobs, I suppose, at the time. But with the security company, anyway, they put me into the National Gallery doing night shift, minding the building, if you know what I mean, from maybe 5 in the evening until 8 in the morning. And I was there for about 2 years, and I liked it. It was great. But while I was there, I kind of fell in love with the gallery itself and the artwork and the whole system. And I applied for a job then in 2000, and I think it was 15, and I got a job. I did interviews and all that. And I couldn't believe it. I just ended up working in the National Gallery, and you know, it was a privilege for me, because it's an incredible place to work. And I always had a liking for art. And and there now, and I love it.
You know, you remind me, because the girls were watching the other night, of Ben Stiller in Night at the Museum. I mean, you're the guy. You know, even those late shifts you described between 5 p.m. and 8 a.m., what's it like walking around all these masterpieces at that time of the night on your own?
Ryan, you have it spot on. You couldn't describe it better. That's exactly what happened. In the evening around 6 o'clock, when all the staff are gone home, I'd have the job of locking down the place and maybe securing the, you know, all the outside parts and inside and all that. And I used to love walking through the rooms on my own and nobody around. And I used to just got attached to the paintings and stood looking at them, reading about them and getting to know them. And yeah, you're right. That went on for about a year while I was doing the security, and I was that man in the museum in the middle of the evening, going around walking and looking at him and taking interest. Yeah, and so.
What paintings, Owen, did you find yourself drawn to?
Well, I suppose everyone asks that question, and I'd say everybody has their own. Mine, I suppose, one painting that drew me at an early stage was the Canal de Loing. It's by Alfred Sisley, and it's always my favorite painting. It's a painting done in France, in the northern part of France, and it's beautiful blue canal, and the sunshine and the weaving grasses in the edge of the canal. Just beautiful color and vibrancy about it. That would be my favorite. I love that. But there's also another lovely painting, you might have seen it yourself, called The Gleaners. It's by a guy called Jules Breton. He was a French artist as well. And the gleaners were people that went around collecting straw and things in the farms when the harvest was done. and it's a beautiful painting. Again, I suppose Caravaggio would be another one up there where everybody, you know, probably is aware of it. And it's a beautiful painting because it's so old and it's so famous. But yeah, the other two I mentioned there would be my two favourites.
And they
drew me first, yeah.
You must see a painting and spend time in front of a painting as a security guard or whatever you might be, in a way that's completely different to any other person visiting the gallery.
You would. I suppose I'm lucky like that. I have access to, you know, conservation and all the other things that go on in the gallery. And you only realise then how much work goes into preserving these paintings, not just the image itself, but the frames and the canvas and all that. And yeah, and the more you're there, the more you see in the painting, I think, the more you look at the detail. And then, of course, you get curious and you look into the history of the artist and the background and maybe why the painting was painted in the first place. Yeah, there's a lot of things goes on. When you're there a long time, you tend to pick up more, you know, but that's the best way to put it.
And this is a long way away from the boy running up the main street in Canmare to Dolly Kelly's bookshop.
I mean, it is, right. It's a long way. It's just, like someone described one time to me when I was in the gallery, that said, you were some man to go from guard to gallery. So I suppose that's... but, Canmere is a long way back, all right. And I suppose that's the reason, you know, that I contacted the show first was about my love for comics. Mm. Yeah, when I was a young lad back in the 60s, I have great memories of going into town from my local... Like, I lived about 10 miles from the town, from Canmere. We lived in a place called Tussis Post Office, and that was out in the middle of nowhere, really, but it was beautiful. And when I got to town, it was running up the street to Dolly Kelly's or down the street to Dick Oddwell's, another newsagent, there were only two. And to get a copy of the Dandy or the Beano that time was just, you know, it was treasure to
me. Well,
it
would have been a portal to another world.
It was a portal to another world. I mean, going to Canmere long ago, for us, like, it'd be like someone going to Paris or London now. It was just... a massive outing, you know, it's like 10 miles away, but to us it was just another world. And you got into town, like I said, you'd get a copy of these comics, and that was the most treasured thing you'd have. You didn't care about sweets or toys or anything like that. Once you got the Beano or the Dandy or maybe a Topper or Beezer, you put it into your pocket, and that was heaven. That was it. That was, you know, you knew you had your journey fulfilled at that stage, you know.
We're different generation, Owen, but all those comics would have been part of my childhood too, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And also, you know, in a black and white world, this was colour.
This was colour, and you know, it was not just colour, but nearly film as well, because the stories ran from, you know, kind of a scene to scene to scene, you know, and you could, even if you never read the script, you'd follow the story. And I think that's what the beauty of it was. And you could put that away in your pocket and it was hidden away for a while. You could take it out again, you know, in another quiet place and open it up again. It was opening up a world, really, to you. And it was colour and it was story. And what I loved then about the comics then was that it was like the Batman and Robin. Tune in next week for the next exciting episode. Like, you know, there was always a continuation in some of them, so it's great that way, you know.
And you know, the I always think for comics for kids is that they're a great entree into the world of reading, because not everyone's going to sit down and read The Hobbit and be a bit precocious at the age of 9 or reading all the Harry Potters by the age of 12. There's nothing wrong with reading a good comic. Actually, they're great fun and they add a bit of humour to the world.
They are, right. They are great fun. No matter what age you are, like, you know, you'll always be drawn into them. If you see a comic, you'll pick it up. You'll go through it. It'll bring back memories. And I suppose for me that time, there was very little to do in where we grew up, you know. Like, you might listen to Radio Luxembourg or Radio Caroline. I think we used to get that time in the old Pye radio. But, you know, there was so much radio. The comic was the thing that you'd go back to all the time, whether you went to bed with the comic or you went out walking with it or anywhere. You just and the funny thing then was you'd read the same thing over and over maybe. You might love a story in a comic and you'd come back to it a couple of days later and you'd read it again. So that was, you know, that was great. You got great value out of it, like.
And you then joined the Guards and you ended up in the National Gallery. So you kind of went from... weirdly comics to Caravaggio with the whole career in the Guards in between.
I did. Convicts to Caravaggio's, right, yeah. And, you know, and the funny thing is, there's a connection in a weird sense, because art, I think, is another thing that I would be drawn to in the comics. Like, the comics were so artful. There were some of these cartoons, like, were geniuses, like the way they depicted the characters. And I suppose one of them I referred to there was a Black Bob character in The Dandy. And I used to love the drawings and that, you know, just pen and ink drawing. And it was
Black Bob, the champion sheepdog.
Oh yeah, oh Ryan. Look, I mean, I have a weakness for that. I love that character, and so much so, like, that I looked up books. Jack Prout, who was the artist, he was from 1944. I think he started doing the artwork, and he published 8 books between 1950 and 66. There were Black Bob books, nutty as just Black Bob, and there were drawings and stories in them. And I started collecting about 15 years ago, and in eBay and Amazon and all that. And now I have the whole 8 of them. Now, I only had 7. I couldn't get the 8th one, the 1951. And would it be my daughter, Evie, for a Christmas present, she looked up all the shops in England. I'd say she went through every one of them in online and all that. And she got one for £100 for me. It was the last of the collection. So I have the full collection now of Black Bob, so I'm delighted, yeah.
And where do you live, Owen?
I live in Timahoe, outside Portlaoise, Ryan. Should be about maybe 6-7 miles outside Portlaoise, to be on the southern side of the county.
And you commute up to the gallery, up and down?
I do indeed. I go up and down every day. Well, now, of course, with the lockdown, now we're kind of restricted for a while, but hopefully things to get back on track again. Yeah, I go up in the morning with I suppose I can mention J.J. Kavanagh.
Of course.
I go up in the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'd come down at 6 in the evening. I leave home really at 5. I'd be one of the early risers, like the Taoiseach said. And I'd leave the house at 5, and I'd be home at around 7:30 or 8. So it's a long day, but a really enjoyable day.
I can hear it in your voice. Can I ask you how old you are?
Roughly. Well, as Mia Hollimer Hurtig would say, I'm in the second half, and we're in the early stages, so I'm around 60.
Okay. But you sound like a man who's happy in life, and you found, your groove there at the gallery. I mean, what I'll say to you is, I love what the gallery do, and I'd love them to, you know, if they did I'd love you to curate a comic exhibition for, you know, kids who are into comics, and if they do that, I'll volunteer my services to launch it and speak at the opening of it.
Ryan, do you know something? I could hug you if you were near me. I know I can't with the virus at the moment, but
no.
I mentioned that one day in the gallery about a couple of weeks ago. I swear to God, to one of the people involved in one of the curators, I said, wouldn't it be fabulous to have a comic exhibition here for kids?
Oh, I'd love it.
And I have a lot of them here myself, because I've collected comics over since the 1950s. I collected them various ways and kept some of them. So, yeah, that would be, and I can tell you, if it happens, I make sure you're the first man in there.
Thank you. I love it. I loved all those comics. They got me through, and I used to go to Sale of Works and buy them for 3p and 4p, and I'd be delighted with a haul of Wheezer, Wizard and Chips, I should say.
And
then the excitement of, Santa would drop an annual, and that was the one thing you were looking forward to, of whether it was Dandy or Beano, or you know what I'm talking about. And we're on the same comic page.
And I'm glad you mentioned the 3p, because that's the amazing part of it.
Yeah.
Comics never changed price from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. They were always 3D or 4D or 4P. Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, they were fair and democratic for readers from Kenmare to wherever you might be. Oh, and it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you at the launch of that exhibition.
Well, Ryan, I'm the same, yeah, and I hope it happens. And listen, thank you very much for talking to me, and sure, we'll meet again.
I hope so, very much so. Owen O'Sullivan joining us on the line there. What a lovely story, and a ramble through his life and times. And that idea of an exhibition of comic books down through the years would be an absolute gem. And I mean what I say, I'll launch it. If Owen's happy to put it together with some friends, let's do it. All right, the text number 51551.